That sounds totally like Caleb would say that, doesn't it?
Tommy. I think I'm a little hot.
All right.
So, conduct. Who thinks it's a bad waterfowl? Who doesn't think it's a bad waterfowl? Why do you think that? Maybe. How do you know that?
It's from my brain, I guess.
Somewhere in your brain. Is that what you think it is too?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, you know it's you know the truth, right? You know what's false and you know the truth. And knowledge is pretty good, right? Or you'll be falling for weird things. So conduct is how you carry yourself during the good and bad situations out there in life. And Caleb, you don't know this, but we've been going through this book, right? Everybody brought their little book. You know what's the weird thing is I was doing my lesson. It's like, I haven't been here. It's like, where did my book go? Where did my book go? So I came in here and made copy of Brendan's book. I have a copy. That's cool. I have a copy, and then I got my lesson all the way done, and then I found my book. Then I found my book. It was crazy, but I guess it was meant to be. There, your book. So, now with conduct, we could think of a lot of people with good conduct, right? A good code of conduct. But obviously, Jesus has lived the greatest code of conduct, the greatest example of that there ever will be, right? And because of that, he's left us an example we should inspire to imitate. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. As we get there, Elena, can you read that for us? 11 through 14. So Jesus has given us our life back, right? He's given us life. You know, we're not bound by sin. You know, with his grace, Jesus has given us a way. He has set us free. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. These lessons are all in that book, and hopefully you guys been reading the book, kind of like reading the chapters in Matthew before Sundays, reading the book, and that will be, we'll make sure everybody can have a book. If you've lost your book, we'll get you one, but just, I wasn't even thinking about you, I was thinking about other people. But as for your book, you know, I mean, it's a neat little book, or you could pass it along to somebody. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Katie, can you read that?
So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law.
So we're not slaves to rules, not regulations, not the law, or to sin when he set us free. Jesus wants to give us, or gave us that liberty, and also he gave us free will, right? We get to decide for ourselves on how to act. You know, he's given us that choice. We could act however we want. He's given us free will. In 1 Corinthians, sorry, it's to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23 through 24. Caleb, can you read that? So Jesus, you know, he's given us freedom. But in that intent, what he wants, he doesn't want us to turn back to our old ways. Right? He's given us free will, but he definitely doesn't want us to turn back to the old ways or even new ways that just enslave us, go back to enslaving us. You know, he wants us to turn to the one who set him free. You know, there's things out there, even as you guys get older, yeah, it might be lawful, but is it good for you? You know, there's a lot of things you can do, but should you do? In Romans chapter 11, I'm sorry, chapter 14. My highlight looked different. Chapter 14, 1 through 4. Brendan? So what do you think? You know, what do you guys think about vegetarians? Oh, that's crazy. No. I mean, does anybody want to help me out with that? What do they think that Jesus is talking about here? Wants us to talk about? Is he talking about vegetarians or versus meat eaters? Not really, right? He's talking about, that's just an example he's giving. But what is he talking about? Actually, Paul is talking, but you know, it's breathed out by God. What are we trying to? What is he trying to tell us here? Right, right. You know, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, we're to walk in love, right? We're walked into love. You know, we don't have the right to say, oh, this person can be saved, but that person cannot be saved. Or do you think you have the right to say that? No, we don't have the right to say that. You know, it said you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilled, a fulfillment of the law. So if we're walking in love, the laws don't be coming easy. Because if we're walking in love, we're not stealing. We're not murdering. right? We're not committing adultery. We're not coveting. We're not lying. Because all those things hurt other people. Right? And we're not thinking that we're better than other people and we don't want to hurt them. So, yeah, I mean, we're not there to judge people in that sense, like we're better than them or they shouldn't be doing this. You know, or they're not saved because of that, because that's not our call. That's God's call. In Luke 2:38 between judging and what's the word? As far as, I mean, you don't want to, you know, there's stuff that people do bad out there, for sure. And you shouldn't go along with anything that they're doing bad. And he's not really talking about that. He's talking about judging on something that is kind of like minute or not really a bad thing. Discernment, yes. Thank you. Discernment. There's discernment. You know, because you don't want to go along with somebody who's doing something bad or say, oh, it's okay. He's not talking about that. I felt when I said that, it's like, hopefully they don't get the wrong idea. Because there is a certain discernment or, you know, you need to be able to discern when somebody is a bad influence, for sure. You know, but you can't say, oh, this guy's not eating meat. He must not be saved, right? Yeah, there's a difference. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Cassie. So self-denial. Self-denial. What do you do when you self-deny?
You could not do the things that you might do that are not good.
Right. Right? Exactly. You know, self-denying is, you know, it's about humbling oneself. You know, putting others first. You know, you're denying yourself. Maybe it's not even something bad. Maybe it's just something you like to do, but you don't have time for it. You know, or you're putting something else off what you could be helping somebody else off. Somebody could be helping somebody else with, but you're just kind of putting that in the back burner. You know, you're kind of denying yourself what you want to do and putting other people first. Putting other people first, putting God first of your life. When we put God first, we're allowing Him to guide. You know, because if we put God first, then everything else falls in place. It's, you know. Let's turn to John. So in Luke, it's the next book over. John chapter 15. Verses 12 and 13. Elena? Huh? So we may never be asked to lay down our life, right? But is there something that, or is there something out there that we're not willing to give up for God's sake? You know, it might not be our lives, but is there something that you're holding on to? You know, And if we could give everything, that means giving everything. You know, not willing, not holding anything back. Again, self-denying things that we may want to do or make excuses why we still do it. But are we willing to give that up in order to follow Jesus? Now, we were talking about, that's Jesus' conduct and things about Jesus' conduct, why we should imitate him. Now, how important is a Christian to have good conduct? Very important. Extremely important. Yeah, it's very important. You know, Christian conduct is how unbelievers see us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Katie?
In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father.
And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know, I got a lot of verses on this. Chapter 9, verse 13. Caleb, can you read that?
Well, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God with the obedience of their confession, the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them in all men.
And then 1 Peter, it's to the right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Brendan?
Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, then that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
You know, I'm sure you guys have a movie, a coming soon movie that you guys want to see, right? You're anxious to see? Yes? No? Yes?
Yeah.
Do they have movies over there in New Zealand? They have just Lord of the Rings plays over and over. What movie? Anybody else? No. Brandon? Yes. Han Solo? Just the first movie you pop in your head.
Jurassic World.
Oh. The first one was just on TV right before I came in. Anybody? No, you don't. Cassie? No. No? It's just the guys?
It's
Ant-Man? Oh. All right. So more than likely, what got you interested to see these movies is what? Huh?
The first one.
The first one. Or maybe the trailer? To that movie?
No.
Okay, maybe you're that one, but probably you have seen a trailer to Jurassic World 2, right?
Yeah.
Right. And a good trailer, what does a good trailer do?
It gets you interested in the movie.
It gets you interested in the movie. Gets you, you know, whether you think the movie's going to be good or bad, right? So our conduct is kind of like a movie trailer. to those unbelievers. When an unbeliever sees the love of Christianity has for one another, you know, and the good works they perform, they may not really like what we believe in, but they can't fault us for that conduct. You know, and they could say, oh, well, those are nice people. Maybe I want to be kind of like them. You know, even in your witnessing, you know, in defending your faith, we should conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect, not with anger, but with love, right? If we conduct ourselves no different than the outside world, what good is that? Is it any good? If the believers don't see, or the unbelievers don't see any difference between them and us, you know, where's the motivation to be a Christian? There isn't, right? Because it's the same. They're all acting the same. I have a little short video. But, or however, the gospel, don't you think the gospel is going to be received better if it comes from somebody who's presenting it is humble and kind than somebody who's rude? Right? If you didn't believe, wouldn't you like to get presented with the gospel with somebody who's kind or not yelling at you? You know, our actions can help or hinder the gospel. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. But wouldn't it be better if that stick was a little less bent? Don't you think? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. So if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we should walk as Jesus walked. I don't know why that was so hard for me to say. Like, you know, we should walk just like Jesus walked. Brendan, can you close us in prayer?